And the top is page Lamed Gimel, the bottom.
Which volume?
Volume 1. It's going to be chapter... No, it might be 2. See if where chapter 26 is. It says on the outside which chapter is...
I think it's one of them.
No, it's 114 at the bottom. No, she's looking at the...
And I think it's volume 1.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Okay, volume one wins. Okay, page 114 at the bottom, in the middle of chapter 26. Last week we learned, the Alter Rebbe explains like this: when two people fight, the most important part of the battle is spirit. Because you can have two people, one stronger than the next, but if the weaker one has more spirit, they're going to win the fight. Okay? So therefore, the Alter Rebbe writes, in this battle between the godly soul and the animal soul, which is a real big battle over the body, to control it, the person needs to realize that a broken heart and depression is not going to help. This that Shlomo HaMelech says, through sadness you get the greatness, means when a person has sadness, and then he realizes that he can now become closer to Hashem than he was if he wouldn't have sinned, so then that causes the person to come to Simcha. In other words, it says like this: if sin is there to depress you, you're going to lose the battle. If you take the sin of the past and build on it and say like this: until now I was far from Hashem, now I'm becoming so much closer to Hashem. Like we gave the analogy last week that the Rebbe gives in Tanya, that the prince was captured kidnapped by somebody, and he was sitting in a dungeon, you know, and all of a sudden he gets out free and he goes back to his father's, to the palace. The simcha of the kid and the father is even greater than if he wouldn't have been kidnapped. Okay? So now the Alter Rebbe is going to say how you get rid of sadness. How do you get rid of depression? She says like this: in your Eita Yehutza, the advised advice, the Tayar Libay, to purify his heart, Mikol Otsev, from any sadness, the Nidno Daiga, or any trace of any worries, from worldly things. What happens if somebody has worldly problems? Like he says, afilu bana chayim azayna, even if it deals with children, health and sustenance. Right? Whatever, they have a lot of problems. He says, how do you get rid of this? He says like this: medazos, by the way, I just want to give one introduction. It's easier said than done. Okay? But Dr. Rebbe says it's possible. He says, we can understand this from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Kshem shemavarech al ateva," just like you say a blessing when good things happen, equally so, you make a bracha when bad things happen. Okay, like we know, God forbid, somebody passes away, there's a bracha, you say, "Baruch atah Hashem dayan ha'emes." The Mishnah basically says, just like you make a bracha on good news, you make a bracha on sad news. So the Gemara asks a question. Why does the Mishnah say, just like you make a bracha on good, you make a bracha on bad? It should say, you make a bracha on bad news. What? It's a funny expression. The Mishnah seems to say, just like you make a bracha on good news, the same way you make a bracha on bad news. Right? So the Gemara asks why. Uperusha b'gemara, and the Gemara answers the question and says what it means is, l'kabuli b'simcha. The Gemara says like this: the Mishnah is not telling us you make a bracha when bad things happen. That's a given. What is the Mishnah telling us? The same way you make a bracha when good news happens. Meaning, just like when good news happens, you're all excited and happy and simcha and everything. The same way, with the same simcha, you make a bracha when bad things happen. So the Mishnah is not just telling us you make a bracha for bad things. The Mishnah is saying much more than that. The Mishnah says, just like when good things happen, you make a bracha with excitement, you need to make the same excited bracha when bad things happen. How could that be? So the Alter Rebbe says like this: the Gemara says you have to make a bracha the same way you would for open goodness. He says, ki gamzu l'teva, because even the bad is good. We have to work out now some basic fundamental premises of this religion. Number one, whether we like it or not, God is good. Number two, the nature of good is to do good. Following 1 and 2, 3 says, therefore God does no evil. Very simple premise. A, B, C. A, God is good. Not only is God good, God is the essence of good. Number 2, the nature of good is to do good. 3, therefore God does no evil. It only looks that way. And now Rebbe is going to come along now with the concept. Let me explain it orally before we see it inside. There is hidden good and there is revealed good. Hidden good is a higher, that Rebbe is going to explain why Kabbalistically in the context of this. Hidden good is a higher level of good than open good. Why? It is so good, it can't even come down in a limited form of good. It has to come down in a form of bad. You ever see when you're very happy, you start crying? Doesn't make sense. Why are you crying? You mean you come to a simcha, you're all excited, and, you know, and the person starts crying. What are you crying for? Or sometimes, you come over to a kid, especially if they have good cheeks, you love the kid so much, you give him a pinch. Yeah? That's what you do. Or you give him a smack, right? A love tap, as it's called. Yeah? The question is, you know, that hurts. Believe it or not. Yeah? The question is, what are you doing that for? Or sometimes you love somebody so much, you say, I hate you. No, but really. In other words, it's such a high level that the words, I love you, cannot express it. It needs to be expressed in something that is negative, a spatch. I mean, a love tap or a pinch or something like that. Yeah? Or a hug that kills the person. You know? That is all good, but it sometimes can't come down in an open form of good because that's going to limit it. And the Rebbe is going to explain like this. In God's name, there's Yud-Kei and there's Vav-Kei. Okay? There's a pasuk at the end of Chumash that says like this. Hanistaris l'Hashem alekeinu, the hidden things are God's. The Hanigleis and the revealed ones, Lanu v'aneinu adelim, is to us and our children for all time. So it says like this. Yud-Kei of God's name is the hidden level of godliness. V'ha-Nigleis, it's Vav-He-Nigleis. So it says the revealed things come from the two letters of Vav-He, the last two letters of Hashem's name. Yud-Kei is where the hidden level of God comes from. Vav-He is the revealed good. Yud-Kei is higher than Vav-Kei, so therefore the hidden good comes from a higher level of good. Now, it looks bad. To us it looks bad. That's because we are blind, stupid, ignorant, and have no conception of what God does. They said many times, it's an interesting philosophical question. If you would be God, would you run the world differently? Many people will answer, 100%. I would get rid of poverty, I would get rid of illness, I would make everybody happy, if I would be God, I would make a perfect world. Right? Whoever says that, or even thinks that, is a complete and total apikatus, a complete non-believer. Not a partial non-believer. A complete apikatus, because you're denying what God is all about. I'll tell you a little secret. If you would be God, you would run the world the exact same way, because God runs the world the best possible way. To us, it doesn't look good. That's not His problem. That's our problem. We mentioned many times, if you have a native from Africa or whatever, knows nothing about medicine. Mamish knows nothing about medicine. Zilch. They walk into Cedars, they go to the operating room, the OR, and they see the following scenario. There's a guy on a bed, okay? There's a guy in a white coat standing over the guy on the bed with an electric knife or saw, whatever they use. I hope they use a fleshy knife there. They're using a knife and they're cutting the guy open, right? That's the scenario you see in an operating room. The mom is cutting the guy open. What does this native think? Murder. Mamish murder. Okay. What is the doctor really doing? Not only is the doctor not murdering the person, the doctor is mamish saving his life. Right? So because this native thinks it's murder, the doctor shouldn't do what he has to do? The doctor shouldn't do what he has to do because this guy is ignorant, completely ignorant. Therefore, the doctor shouldn't do what he has to do. This is humans that are interconnected, right? The most brilliant guy and the biggest moron are still limited people. You're talking about our perception of what God does? How could we ever think that because it, in my eyes it's bad, therefore Hashem shouldn't do what he has to do? Hashem has to do what he has to do, and whatever he's doing is good. There's a famous story in the Gemara that Yeshua ben Levi met Eliyahu HaNavi in the street. And he says, he was trying to catch the plane. So he said to him, where are you going? He said, I'm going on a mission. Hashem sent me on a mission. I want to come along. So Eliyahu HaNavi said, no. So why not? Because you people are blind and stupid. And I can't take you along on my mission. He says, no, I want to go. And I promise you, I will not ask you any questions about what you're doing. So Eliyahu HaNavi agreed, and he said, okay, the second you ask me a question, you're out. Okay? So the story is, they came to a village. Everybody treated them beautifully. Beautifully. Wonderful hospitality, everything. Eliyahu HaNavi leaves the village. He davens to Hashem. They should have one leader. Comes to the next village. Treats them horribly. Nobody let him in. They threw him out. They were disgusting to them. Leaves the village. Eliyahu HaNavi davens. They should all be leaders. So Yeshua ben Levi says, one minute, this is wacko. You know, this doesn't matter. He had to keep his mouth shut. Then they go to the third place. Come to the very old, poor couple. Old couple. The only possession they had was a cow. They used to give milk and they had a little sustenance. The couple had nothing, but they invited them and they were warm and they gave them the last bit of food that they had. Wonderful hospitality. Eliyahu HaNavi walks out of the room. He davens to Hashem that the cow should die. This already blew his mind. Yeshua ben Levi said, come on, that's already going too far. He said, that's it? What in the world are you doing here? Are you crazy? So Eliyahu HaNavi said, out, you know. But he said, just to show you how blind you people are, let me explain to you what I did. So first of all, the biggest curse you can give everybody is when everybody's a macher, everybody's a leader, everybody's a president. That's a curse, not a blessing. Okay, so those people are cursed and these people are blessed. He said, yeah, but the cow, what, you know what? So Eliyahu HaNavi said to him like this. It was decreed in heaven that night that the woman was supposed to die. I transferred her death to the cow. Because they were so nice and warm, I transferred her death to the cow. So somebody looking at the cow dying would say it's a tragedy. But if you know what's going on, that instead of the woman dying, the cow died, it was a bracha. In other words, what Hashem does is definitely good. The fact that we see it to be bad doesn't make it bad, number one. Number one, it's good. And Alter Rebbe is saying, not only is it good, it's even a greater level of good than the revealed good. So if a person understands Dr. Rebbe is going to explain in great length. If a person understands that when I have a problem, I have a disaster, and the Gemara tells me I need to make a bracha, and the Gemara says not only should you make a bracha, you have to make the bracha with the same simcha and excitement that you had when good things were happening, and you need to make a bracha. Yeah? So the Alter Rebbe says the truth of the matter is that a person realizes that it's all really good. What is the good? Only God knows. I can give you certain suggestions, but only God knows. For instance, it's possible, again, only God knows this, so it's in this throwing out suggestions. Let's say a person did certain avedas, certain sins, that because of that, they are doomed to suffer in Gehenna, in purgatory, hell, whatever you want to call it. But Hashem says, you know what? I love you. I'm kind to you. I'm going to make you suffer a little bit in this world. And by suffering a little bit in this world, you will have eternal bliss in Gan Eden. Or to use it in a scientific medical analogy, people are willing to go through surgery. Surgery is painful. There's recuperation. It's not bliss. But a person would rather go through surgery and suffer for a week, let's say, that for the rest of their life they don't suffer. Right? So is somebody going to say, in that case, surgery is cruel? God forbid to say surgery is cruel. Surgery not only is not cruel, but surgery is beneficial. A person that doesn't need surgery, because call them and say, hey, you want to go get cut? Of course they're going to say no. But if they're going to gain by it a tremendous amount, you know, if somebody's suffering and the suffering will be a week, and they say, well, you know what, if you go surgery, you also suffer a week. Of course they're not going to go for surgery. If they know at the end of the week they're not going to suffer anyway, why should they go for surgery? So sometimes Hashem gives a person problems because that's a purification. It's a cleansing. And it says a little bit of cleansing down here takes the place of a tremendous amount of cleansing upstairs. And Dr. Rebbe in the Geres HaTshuva gives the analogy for the shadow of the sun to move a few feet down here. The sun had to move hundreds of miles up there to change the shadow down here a little bit. Whatever happens down here takes off a tremendous amount of punishment in the world to come. Sometimes Hashem gives the person suffering to become a better person. Now, if you take hide off an animal, yeah, the hide is very coarse. It's not usable. It's not refined. If you want to be able to use the hide into leather, parchment, or whatever it is, you need to tan the hide. What is tanning the hide? You take massive combs and you torture the hide. And then the hide becomes usable. It becomes refined. It becomes leather, parchment, or whatever it may be. You take a grape, you torture the grape, but the wine that comes out of it is better than the grape. Right? Wine is better than the grape. How do you get wine? You need to torture the grape, realistically speaking. You press it and crush it and step on it and, you know, whatever it is, and you get the wine. So the Alter Rebbe is saying a person needs to understand the premise like this. Everything Hashem does is good, because Hashem is the essence of good. See, we are mixed with good and bad. Tevara, you know, Eitzadas, the Kamba, we're mixed with good and bad. So when we do good, it's not real good. Because most of the time, when we do good, there's an ulterior motive there. You know, I want people to see how nice I am, I want to be a good person. It's not true blue good for the sake of good. There's always a little bit of evil mixed in. When Hashem does good, it's the ultimate level of good. And then Alter Rebbe is adding, though, not only is it good, but it's a higher level of good than even the revealed good. What?
So I have a question. So when we look look at Chas V'Shalom, someone who can't see or can't hear or whatever, and we're using what you're saying. But doesn't it also say...
No, one second. Let me just explain something. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I need to say something very important. This is not when somebody else is suffering. When somebody else suffers, we don't say, oh, it's so good what you're going through because God loves you and it's such a high level of... No. When we suffer, okay? When we suffer, the attitude of the person has to be, Hashem loves me. Sometimes a little bit too much. You know, sometimes you tell God, don't love me so much. He loves me. But to justify the suffering, Hashem wants that when somebody else is suffering, Hashem wants us to scream at him, you know, why are you doing this to that person? They don't deserve it. That's what Hashem wants to hear. You know, Hashem, you know, Debbie spoke about this many times. The Rebbe said people used to complain to him. He's talking about demanding Mashiach and asking for Mashiach and all that. People would say, why are you mixing into God's business? When God is ready and willing to bring Mashiach, who's going to bring him? What are you mixing into God's business? That's a real typical from question. Why are you mixing into God's business? So the Rebbe said, you know what's very interesting? When a family member is very sick and you start davening to Hashem and demanding from Hashem, you know, make him healthy and begging Hashem, do you have also the same attitude? Why am I mixing into God's business? If God wants him to die, let him die. If God wants him to be sick, let him suffer. You know, does a person say, why? What's the answer is? Yes, we do mix into Hashem's business because that's what he wants us to do. And the mere fact that Torah allows going to a doctor, look, there are many religions that don't allow you to go to a doctor, right? There are many lawsuits, right? People running away from the country because they don't want to do treatment, right? Without those two words in the Torah, virape yirape, that the Gemara says, from here we see a doctor's permission to heal. In philosophical Judaism, a Jew would not be allowed to go to a doctor. Why are you mixing into God's business?
What are the words?
Virape yirape. In Mishpatim. Literally over there means like this. If you hit somebody, you beat them up, you need to pay 5 damages. So the Torah says, V'rapa y'rapa, you need to pay the doctor bills. Like, God forbid, if I beat you up, I have to pay doctor bills. Yeah? That's if you don't have insurance, then you make a lawsuit anyway. So from the fact that the Torah says you have to pay the doctor bills shows that you have doctors have permission to heal. Right? But the question is, why should you mix into Hashem's business and go to a doctor? Well, the whole concept of prayer doesn't make sense. We're praying to Hashem to make a sick person healthy. If Hashem made him sick, don't you think Hashem knows what he's doing? Why are we mixing into God's business? Right? Hashem doesn't want to bring Mashiach. Why are we mixing into Hashem's business? Because this is exactly what he wants us to do. Hashem wants us to mix into his business and say, not for ourselves, for somebody else. Why are they sick? They should be healthy. For ourselves, also it's a mitzvah to daven. Okay, I know I didn't answer your question completely. Yeah.
Going back on the same line of what you're saying, I mean, it might
take... Let her finish your question. I interrupted her. Yeah?
Okay. So let's say Chas V'Shalom, someone's poor, they can't hear, they can't see, or something like that, that we all see as not being good, or whatever, like, you know, person. Let's say someone who can't hear the shofar, someone who sees, can't see the candle, hagdala,
right,
whatever it is. So that's what I don't understand. Like, if the Torah is meant like to be that a Jew is supposed to fulfill the mitzvot, and that person for whatever reason can't fulfill that mitzvah, what does that mean?
That means that that person's mission in life is not to do that mitzvah. I can even give you a better example than that, which we mentioned in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, there are many. You ever bump into a Jew in the street? I mean, completely assimilated Jew. And they're 60, 70 years old, and they, you just happen to inform them they happen to be Jewish. They never knew they were Jewish, but they said, my mother's mother was Jewish, remember? There are people in this world that are born Jewish, die Jewish, and they never knew they were Jewish. Some people you meet, you happen to inform them, by the way, you know you're Jewish. There are people in this world that are born Jewish, their mother's mother was Jewish, right? They die being Jewish, and they never even knew once So the question, you can't blame them. They think they're goyim. You can't blame them for not seeking out Yiddishkeit, correct? What was the purpose for their neshama to come into the world? You know what? As God. I don't know what the mission is. Obviously, their neshama came into the world, right? As a Jew, even though they never even knew they were a Jew. Maybe it was to do a favor to another person. Maybe it was... Who knows what it was? But one thing is for sure. That neshama had a mission. If not, Hashem wouldn't have sent them down. Right? A person who can't hear means Hashem doesn't want them to do the hearing mitzvahs. If you can't see, Hashem doesn't want that neshama to do seeing mitzvahs.
Hashem wants most of...
But there's two aspects over here. There's two aspects over here, though.
Okay.
One aspect is, why am I aware of their blindness? Mm-hmm. That's one issue. And secondly, why did Hashem make them blind? But there's two issues here. Everything is divine providence. There's a reason why Hashem made them blind. But why did Hashem make you come in contact with them that you are aware they're blind? There's something you need to learn from them being blind. In other words, if seeing somebody disabled, let's use that word, motivates you to be a better person, maybe that's why their neshama came into the world, to make you a better person. You, I don't mean you, you, me, you, whatever. Maybe the person's mission in life coming down disabled was to make other people better people. That's also a mission of a neshama. Right? Maybe that's the reason. Is there any way of knowing? No. Maybe it's suffering to get rid of Gehenna. Maybe it's to make a person a better person. Maybe it's to learn something. Maybe to be a mentor and a guide how to live with suffering. Maybe your the person's mission of being disabled or suffering is to be a living example of how to live even with suffering. What?
So there's a video right now of a guy that they start in very tight on his face. And he says, the camera starts very tight on his face, and he says, I really enjoy the world. He said, I have golfed in Scotland, I've fished in Costa Rica. He said, I enjoy everything the world has to offer. And as the camera pulls back, you see that this man is nothing but a head and a torso and a little flipper foot. He has no arms, he has no legs. And it's an amazing video because he said, and he falls down on the ground and he says, look at me, I'm on the ground. What do? I have to get myself back up. And somehow he makes himself get back up. And you look at this man and you say, and it's such an inspiration that he's learned how to golf with this little flipper foot. I mean, he does everything that he does, regardless of what.
So
it makes us look.
Is that maybe their mission?
Yes.
There's no question it's part of their mission.
There's
is that
people that are bitter, though.
That's attitudes.
That really,
but that's attitudes.
Attitude
right.
So what we learned from him.
The regular question, why me? God forbid, when people suffer, the normal question is, why me?
Right.
Why me? Because the answer to that, according to Chassidus, this is all easier said than done, yeah? The answer, according to Chassidus, why me? Because I was fortunate for Hashem to reveal the hidden level of good through me. That's the real answer to the question. Why me? Because Hashem chose you, and you're fortunate, and you have to feel fortunate that Hashem did that to you.